Hello, friend, and welcome to another episode of the Being Allowed podcast. I'm your host, Bea Boucher, and this week we're doing something brand new, which is that I'm attempting to film the podcast, not only record it, which means you can be listening to this on Spotify, Apple, wherever else you get your podcasts, or for the first time, you can also be watching me record this. So let's see how this goes. Anyway, regardless of where you're listening to or watching this, I have found that probably my very favorite thing about recording this podcast ever since, I think, 2022 when we started, is that it is a very great, very regular, intentional place for me to come and grapple with my humanity. And what I mean by that is that as we go about our days, you know, it's not always easy to remember to pause and really think about the struggles and difficulties of what it means to be human. And I know we don't always like to think about struggles and difficulties, but they are important. They are a fundamental part of being human, right? Life just tends to carry us through, you know, one errand to the next, one task to the next, without reminding us of just the level of awareness that we need in order for us to be effective, good human beings. But whether it's me brainstorming and journaling and reading every week so that I can come out with a new podcast for you guys, or if it's you tuning in, carving out the time to listen, together we've made the decision to pause and reflect, which is the biggest privilege of being human beings with actual brains. You know what I mean? We get to use them. Anyway, so if you're listening to this, or if you're watching at the time of its release, then it's still January of 2024. And that is a month during which I find myself pausing and reflecting even more than usual, so that I can set the intentions and prepare my heart and mind in the healthiest ways possible for the upcoming year. And I posted the YouTube video a couple of days ago, which I will link down in the show notes below, that it was a meditation of sorts on what is the point of setting goals when we live in such an absurd and unpredictable world, you know? What is the point? Because as the craziness of my life has unfolded over the past 3 years, I have really struggled with the question of what is the point. You know, I've seen firsthand that we can make the most meticulous plans only to have the script completely be flipped upside down to a place that is so unexpected and a place of like to where I am so unprepared. Goals feel very irrelevant then, and not only irrelevant, they feel like they have come off the page on which I wrote them to mock me almost for being so proud as to attempt to control my own life. But what I found is that there is one element of life that promises us to keep us afloat in the face of the unknown. So grab yourself a warm cup of coffee or tea or whatever, and let's begin today's conversation. All right, so this is actually quite exciting, the whole having a camera thing. So yeah, if you want to see me be all weird and awkward, then definitely go check out the YouTube part, because I'm feeling quite awkward. But anyway, let's see if we can make it through this conversation. So actually, as we're about to talk about today's topic, I just finished reading a book. It's called Wave, and it is by Sonali Dharaniyagala. Anyway, however I'm pronouncing it, definitely pronouncing it wrong, but she is a Sri Lankan memoirist. She's also an economist, lots of other things, but this is her memoir. And let me tell you, it was so difficult to read, okay? I'm just going to give you the gist of what the memoir is about because it's so on point for today's conversation. And trust me, no spoilers. Like, you know, everything I'm going to tell you, you can find in the summary at the back of the book before you even read the book. So Sonia, wait, Sonali. I don't know what's wrong with me. Sonali, she was married to an English man, right? And they had two sons together. And because she's originally Sri Lankan, they spent a lot of their time in Sri Lanka vacationing and going to visit her parents and stuff like that. So it wasn't weird for them to be in Sri Lanka when her story or that part of her story unfolded, right? So they were in Sri Lanka for Christmas in December when a tsunami in 2004 occurred. And of course, the start of the book is where she's describing the tsunami and what happened and everything like that. But basically, she survived because she noticed a branch and she held on to that branch, okay? And so she survived, but her two sons, her parents, and her husband were wiped away and she never saw them ever again. And so that was like a split moment thing, right? Split moment. Just in a second, she lost family. She lost the very definition of what it meant to be herself, right? Now her life is so completely something that she doesn't recognize. She has no idea how she's supposed to go on. But alas, she still has to, right? And so the book, like what I just told you is literally just the introduction of the book. But then the rest of the book is basically her grappling with this new life that she now has to create, this new definition of what it means to be Sonali right now and how to even go on, right? And I read this book. I've been really into memoirs lately. I want to hear people's stories. I want to see what makes people who they are, you know? So I feel like memoirs are, you know, firsthand accounts of people's lives. So I've been wanting to read the memoirs. And then as I was reading this memoir, I was like, listen, I mean, the chances of any of us being caught in a tsunami are pretty slim to none, right? The chances are always there, which the proof is that people have been caught in tsunamis before, but the chances are slim to none. And yet somehow, as I was reading her book, I couldn't help but feel like it sounds so familiar. And it sounds so relatable. And the way that she discusses or describes the events of her life, so relatable. Even if none of us have been in a tsunami, you know, or in a situation that's anywhere near that. So if you've been around the podcast for long enough, you know that I am divorced. You know that I lost my dog. And you know that these past couple of years, we've had some family issues, like health scares, like major scares and things like that. And so the past 3 years, I feel like already for all of us, just with COVID and everything, COVID was the exact case in point of how life was going on just as normal. And then out of nowhere, a COVID virus, like a pandemic, strikes the globe, planet Earth. And now life is completely different. And we have to like reassess what it looks like to be human. Like, I'm pretty sure if any of us had plans before the year 2020, well, the year 2020 came and all our plans, poof, evaporated, disappeared, right? And all of a sudden we were at home, stuck at home. And so if our plans involved travel, if they involved, you know, any new adventure that we were about to go on, well, all of a sudden now we have to recalibrate. We have to readapt to the current situation. And so one would look at the absurdity of life, right? Like all of what I've just described shows you, if we take a moment, like these things happen and then we feel them really in the moment and then we move on and they no longer are on our minds, right? Because human beings, we have very short-term memories, I would say. But okay, like life moves on. But if we take a moment to just really stop and think, like really stop and think, we're going to realize that Oh my goodness. Anything can happen at any given moment. Literally, anything can happen at any given moment. And so when we think about absurdity, the absurdity of life, the unpredictability of life, and then here we are in January, which is the month where we all make plans and set out to achieve big things and decide that we're going to change our habits and all that stuff. Well, then what is the point of making these plans, right? I feel like this is just a sure way to be disappointed, or like I said in the introduction, a sure way for me to feel mocked by the plans that I've set in place whenever real life strikes, whenever the unpredictable thing happens, right? And so what is the point? And not just what is the point, but how can I make effective plans? How can I live in a healthy way where, on the one hand, I want to achieve things. I want to reach specific goals. I want good things to happen in my life. So that's on one hand. But on the other hand, I don't want to feel disappointed. I don't want to feel sad. And this is really something that I'm recording this in the thick of when this is super on my mind, right? But I found that there is one thing that has the ability to keep us afloat, has the ability to make our lives make sense in a way that is humble enough so that we're open to whatever happens, but we're not completely hopeless. We're not in despair over the fact that we have very little control over our lives, because we as human beings like to feel like we're in control. We like to be like, I'm going to have a morning routine and a nighttime routine, and I'm going to have a system and la la la, because I want to give my life structure as if I can control my life. And then things that remind us of the absurdity of life, these things happen. And then all of a sudden we're like, well, if I'm not in control, then I don't know what to do. If I'm not in control, then there's no point in anything that I'm doing. And then we'll find ourselves getting into burnout so much more often. We'll find ourselves just being more melancholic and depressed, because what is the point anymore? You know what I mean? I have found that one thing keeps us afloat, and it's a very tricky thing to discuss. And that thing is hope. Now, before you turn this off and before you realize, oh, okay, this is so cliche, hope seems so irrelevant to me because I am dead in the middle of a situation where there is no hope. I have no hope. My life has taken so many turns that are so unexpected, and hope is so trivial and makes no sense to me right now. So you're about to turn this off, right? But don't turn it off. Hope, let me read you two definitions of hope. One definition says that hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. So we set out goals, and the hope is that we will be able to achieve these goals, right? So it's the expectation or a desire. Here it says expectation and desire to achieve a thing. But if I have an expectation and a desire to achieve something, and then a tsunami hits and my life is unrecognizable, then hope was the reason why I am now in despair, right? Hold that thought. Now we have a second definition. Hope is a feeling of trust. Trust in what? Like, if hope is the feeling of trust, what trust in what? What can I trust in that is above or stronger than life's crazy unpredictability? What can I hope in that even if a tsunami comes and wipes my entire family off the face of the earth, I will still, you know, stand my ground? Now, every person, like, take this as a journaling prompt for today. Take this and journal on it. What is the one thing I can put my hope in? I feel like lots of us will have lots of different answers. And if you know me at all, if you've been here for any number of days or weeks or whatever, you know that for me, hope is my faith and what I have chosen to put my faith in. Because to me, I feel like our society nowadays is so religionlessness, is like marked around religionlessness. Just made that word up. But anyway, and I feel like that means that I am the be-all, end-all, right? It starts with me and it ends with me. So when my life doesn't go well, all hell breaks loose. But if we go back in history to times when religion was a big part of society, we can see these people were usually much more level-headed. They were usually at much more peace because their hope was in something that was bigger than them, in something that humbled them into realizing they are not in control of everything, and therefore, they can trust something bigger. So that is my personal answer, but that is such a unique and individual question that you can answer. What is one thing that you can put your hope in? One thing that you can put your trust in that no matter what happens, sure, you'll feel the pain, you will absorb it all because we're human beings and we have to feel the pain when painful things happen. But you'll still be able to get back on your feet and make it through. Ask yourself that question. But I just want to say, and I feel like this is going to be my last point, is hope is so, so tricky because you can't go to a person who is reeling, a person who is in the middle of their pain, in the middle of their trauma, of their terrible experience, and tell them, you have to have hope, you know? All you need is just to have hope. Because let me tell you, I received such advice in the thick of my divorce. Now, I'm a Christian woman. I wasn't even 30 when I got my divorce. And so it was like divorce in and of itself is such a big deal, right? It's already a huge deal. But when you're in my particular specific situation, it's even more sticky. It's even more traumatizing because now, not only did I lose any sense of like planning for the future, I also now have lost my place in society because I'm immediately shunned because people are not interested in hearing the story. And I wasn't interested in sharing. But anyway, so now nothing in my life is familiar and I'm so lost. And yani, there's no... In Arabic, we say malamah to my life. There are no features to my life anymore. I don't know. And yet people would come to me and be like, you know what you need? You need hope. You need to believe that everything happens for a reason. And that even if you can't see the reason now, there is a reason. Let us assure you. So you must, you know, hold on to that hope, you know? And that crushed me. That made me feel so alone. It made me feel like there was no empathy in the world. Like no one could understand where I was coming from or how I was feeling. And no one was interested in understanding or empathizing with my situation. They wanted to give me the easy answer. You know, you just need to have hope. Well, to me, I couldn't even imagine a tomorrow. I mean, literally tomorrow. I'm not saying anything, artistic, poetic, a tomorrow. No. I'm saying like actually one day from the day, whatever given day, I couldn't imagine. In fact, there were days where I felt every passing minute, like I felt every second of every passing minute to where I was craving the moment during which I'm going to be able to make it to my bed at the end of the day and sleep. And that was as far as hope went for me, to me. So people would come and be like, you just need hope. Well, that is so alienating. And so the thing about hope is that it's not what we have, like hope is not a conversation we can even be having when we are in the thick of our experience, when we are in the thick of our trauma. That is not when we have the conversation on hope. Hope comes into play as we are healing. And the more that we heal, the more progress that we make, the more that hope starts feeling closer to home, starts feeling like something we can hold, something we can grapple with just a little bit more, a little bit more. And then as we heal even more, hope is the thing that enables us to wake up in the morning, brush our teeth, wash our faces, get dressed, and go to work. It's because we understand. Remember the episode on both and two things can exist at once? Hope is the thing that's going to be like, yeah, sure, we acknowledge that our experience was difficult, that the trauma we endured was substantial and it was serious. But we also understand that there is something that can still be the driving force, that can still give us strength, can still motivate us, even if it gives us just, you know, one teeny ounce of strength more than what we had yesterday. That is one teeny amount of strength more that will help get us through a difficult day. And then one difficult day, followed by another difficult day, and slowly but surely, difficulties start alleviating themselves. And what we're left with is hope. What we're left with is the hope that carried us through the difficulties. So life is hard. Life is hard. Life is unpredictable. Anything can happen at any given moment. But we don't lose hope. We don't lose the fighting spirit. Sonali, she is still alive to this day. She lost her family. She lost everything she knew in the year 2004. And yet here she is to this day. She's a professor at Cambridge, I believe, or Oxford, or Columbia. One of those three. At like a major mega university. She's a professor of economics. She shows up for work. She was able to muster enough strength to write the memoir so that more people can feel like they're not alone, that struggles do happen, that this is the reality of life. The reality of life is that it's difficult and it's unpredictable. But we human beings have the unbelievable capacity to heal and recover and fall and get back up and show up to our lives in a way that has meaning, in a way that is purposeful, even still, even though we feel the pain, even though nothing about our trauma is bearable. Hope keeps us afloat. And we go through ups and downs of seasons when hope is, you know, plentiful, and then seasons where we can barely remember what hope felt like. But in every season, sooner or later, hope will pick us back up. Just let's be careful to use that word carefully around those who are in pain, so that we don't isolate them, so that we don't forget to also empathize with their pain, because that's the entire point of community. Anyway, thank you so, so much for listening to today's episode, for watching it on YouTube if you are here. I'm very, very excited to see where this can go and where, you know, how the podcast can grow, because I feel like we have a very wonderful community. Like, I keep meeting people from the Being Allowed community who just remind me that this is important work, because we're all people, right? And we need to be having important conversations that they ma'ulna in the introduction, like we said, it's like a moment, a pause, so that we can reflect, you know? And it's very simple. So I'm very, very excited to see what the coming season of this podcast is going to look like. And as always, if you enjoyed today's episode, and in general, if you are in support of the Being Allowed podcast, please be sure to like and subscribe and leave a review or a comment. This applies to all the platforms. So leave a comment on YouTube or Spotify or Apple or whatever, but leave a review and like and share if you feel like this conversation can benefit someone that you know. And yeah, I'll see you again next time.